and the gleaming lenses of his spectacles.
The day I get to spit in his empty eye sockets is the day I accept traitors gone from us.
It looked bad, that last glimpse that I had of him on that beach.
Dark Knight, you think that bad is enough to chill traitor?
Ryan grinned. Since there wasn't likely to be much long-range shooting, he'd left the Steyr back in the hut, despite its starlight nightscope, relying on the Sig Sauer and the Ponga to see him through against danger. JB had elected to take the Uzi, carrying it slung over one shoulder, ready for instant use. They both went for their weapons when a large carnivore that looked oddly like a striped jaguar slunk quickly across the path, only a dozen yards in front of them. But it passed out of sight with only the most cursory, dismissive glance in their direction.
Must mean there's not too much movement close by.
Sure. If the slavers were on the road tonight, the forest would know it before we did.
Remember that time we were on night recon through the Smokies?
You mean the run-in with those inbred stickies that brewed liquor that took the paint off the war wags?
No, not them. Ones that used throwing axes.
Oh, yeah. Take your head clean off your shoulders before you even knew that you'd been hit. Yeah, I remember them. You recall that summer patrol in West Texas? We were walking through thick woodland, you and me, on a night just like this.
Came across an old mill. Wheel was rotted and moss-covered, but it still turned with the flow of a fast stream. Made a grinding noise like a wag crushing an old auto.
There was that family living in the mill, wasn't there? About a dozen of them. Not a single hair on the head of any of them. All bald.
You asked them why, and the old woman said that you didn't see grass growing on a busy highway.
We both thought she was making a kind of small joke, and we started to smile at her.
And the shit hit the fan.
Yeah, knives and straight razors and a couple of flintlock pistols appeared out of thin air.
Time we got out of the place, there was blood dripping through the floorboards onto the dirt.
They sure been some places and seen some things. I guess we've had our share of luck.
Good and bad. How about that business with the limping man, the missing brindled dog, and the triple fat woman who swore that she was able to take three?
JB stopped abruptly as Ryan suddenly held up a warning hand. Both of them stepped silently off the trail into the brush. They crouched and waited. JB inched up behind Ryan.
Gone quiet. What did you hear?
Didn't hear anything. Smelled smoke. A cooking fire. Just got the faintest taste of it. Ahead of us, north.
Must be them. Go in closer, take a look.
Ryan glanced at the sky, checking where the riding moon was, looking at the gathering bank of cloud moving toward them from the north.
If it's them, and it probably is, then they moved a lot closer to the village. Only 2-3 hours away. Means they might be coming as early as dawn.
Sooner. Fires might be dying, eaten earlier, ready to move right now. Might even be closing in now.
So we look.
Bivar was lying on his back, staring at the star-sprinkled sky. Ryan and JB had crawled within a dozen yards, taking advantage of thick brush. The slavers were secure in their numbers, not bothering to place any guards on watch. Altogether, Ryan counted 36 men around the big fire.
Could spray a mag from the Uzi and take out 8 or 10.
They likely know the jungle better than us. We two get chilled and the village will fall.
You're right.
I'm always right, amigo. You should know that by now.
And hit the honey nest around first light. Just a few sluts cooking tortillas. Men all snoring like hogs in a dung heap.
Ryan nudged JB. They'd heard all that they wanted to hear.
Time to go.
Ryan jerked his thumb in a southerly direction through the moonlit woods toward the village. Rodrigo Bivar sat a Palomino mare, standing in the stirrups, staring all around him. It was a fine morning, though some high clouds gave a warning of the possibility of rain later in the afternoon. The dawn sun was low on the eastern horizon, away to the left. The flat-topped pyramid was about 100 yards ahead of the attacking party, the bright morning light showing the ominous black stains that streaked the topmost stones. Bivar pushed back the brim of his Panama hat and wiped sweat from his forehead, checking that all 35 of his men were still in a line behind him. It had been a pleasant enough ride through the early dawn, enjoying all the sights and sounds of the awakening emerald jungle. Bivar felt fine, on top of the world, ready for anything, despite the small nagging doubt about the disappearance of his scouts. They were 4 good men, men he'd trusted with the mission of going on ahead to recon the village. It had bothered Bivar a little, meeting that small group of outlanders. They had the cold-eye look of mercies, hired guns. But two of them had been women, and one was only a young boy. Not the sort of group that would bother with the village or the dirt-poor natives.
But still.
The village was ready. JB had already set up a number of watchers, linked by line of sight, that could wave a message down the line to warn of the arrival of the gang. Now that message had come, and the whole community was bowstring taut. Ryan and JB had spent nearly 3 hours with Itzcoatl and the elders when they returned from their own scouting mission. At the last minute, Ryan had asked Jack to come along with them, explaining what he wanted. It turned out to be a good move, as the natives paid the utmost attention to everything that Jack said. He'd hammered home the vital importance of holding off any aggression until Ryan gave the signal by opening fire.
Must have them in the village. Right in. Anybody shoot too soon, and they run. That could be the end for everyone.
At Ryan's suggestion, the older women and the youngest surviving children left the village before dawn, following almost invisible hunting trails that wound south and east toward a cave hidden behind a waterfall. The rest of the settlement was hidden in their appointed places, armed with what weapons had been available. Almost no guns, but plenty of arrows and blowpipe darts. Bivar rubbed at the side of his nose, where he'd been bitten by an insect during the night. He turned to Manuel, his second in command.
Here, amigo.
The fat man heeled his own horse forward to the head of the column, grinning at his chief, the gold teeth glinting in the sunlight.
Something wrong?
Keep thinking about the four men we sent out scouting. What happened to them?
They got tired and went for some fun in some place, I guess. Who the fuck knows, jefe?
Four of them? No message? No nothing from them? Sort of bothers me.
We just gotta collect a full hand from this village is all.
What happened to the drums?
Ryan looked across the deserted open square, checking that there was nothing to arouse any doubts. Bivar had to be used to riding into villages where everyone rushed in panic into hiding. But still, something seemed wrong to Ryan.
Those bastard drums! Fire blast!
Of course. If Bivar comes in and hears nothing, then we could be going down the tubes.
I'll tell the chief right now.
Manuel lifted a hand to his ear.
Seems like I hear drums pretty good.
They only just started. Seems kind of strange.
They only beat them when the day started.
Guess so.
Hit him up! Fight him out! Let's go!
See, rainflower.
Itzcoatl pointed halfway up one of the tallest trees in the vicinity. The woman stood on a branch as broad as a two-lane blacktop, waving a length of bright orange cloth.
Here they come.
The gates to the village stood wide open, showing a few of the huts and a trio of abandoned cooking fires. But there was no sign of any life, and the drums had stopped. Bivar reined in the Palomino.
Maybe we wait and watch. Send in 6 or 7 to look around the place.
He spun, seeing that a number of the men were smirking, while others looked rigidly ahead.
You think I am scared to go in? Do you? Anyone think that? Then he come and tell me. I think maybe it's not me that is the chicken. But we don't wait. We go in. Follow me and keep all your eyes open.
He set his spurs into the flank of the horse and led his men through the gates.
They've been doing some work, Hefe. Look at them walls.
Sure, I see them. They've been working hard. Shame is all for fucking nothing.
Now that they were actually inside the village, his doubts had evaporated. The fact that it seemed deserted didn't worry him at all. Bivar gestured for his men to form a rough half-circle on both sides of him, covering the whole open area of the village. Smoke from one of the fires blew toward him, making the Palomino skittish. He hadn't bothered to draw his weapon. Since there was nobody around, there didn't seem very much point.
Hey, peasants! You lost your cojones! Come out, wherever you is! Hey, you come out, you don't get hurt! You stay hidden, and we get mad!
Ryan looked along the row of huts, catching the anxious eyes of Itzcoatl. He grinned at the native to reassure him, putting his finger to his lips to reassert the need for quiet. At his side, JB was blowing